You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
One hint, the worst is yet to come.
Tigers are trying to come back in this darn thing, and still so much baseball to be played at Comerica tonight on a beautiful, warm night. Let's get you caught up there. It's time for a sports wrap. It's brought to you by Sporty Cuts, 7 Mile an Outer. If you need a haircut, you know where to go.
Sporty Cuts.
Sporty Cuts. See, John knows where to go. Got yourself a high top fade. Second game of the four games. What do you have?
All haircut? Even. Just all even.
It's called all even? What do you? What is this, like the World Series of Poker? That's what it sounds like. All those like little phrases for the haircut thing sounds like a poker thing. I got a high top fade. I'm going to be all even. I'm going to be all in. Second game of the four-game series, the Royals scored 7 runs in the second. 7 off Max Scherzer. Guy won a Cy Young Award. I don't know if you heard. It was in all the papers. 7 runs on 7 hits. Alex Gordon and Mike Moustakas each hit 2-run homers. Omar Infante, who played here before, he went there. A 2-run single amongst the 7 runs. Tigers have come back with 2 in the bottom of 2 against Ventura. Escobar's error scored Victor Martinez and Austin Jackson with an RBI single. 7-2. We go into 3 now to get out of the inning? 7-2 going to the third at Comerica. Royals lead with a chance for their 9th straight win and to take over first place in the American League Central tonight. Local scores first. Sports Night with Parker Man presented by Sporty Cuts. World Cup soccer in Brazil. The USA doesn't play again until Sunday. South Korea. Is that game over? It was 1-0. 1-0. I will check it. Against the Russians. Belgium with a 2-1 win earlier over Algeria, and Brazil, the host country, and Mexico played to a 0-0 tie. 0-0. Goose eggs on the board. Each of those two squads now has 4 points in Group A. San Antonio Spurs' 5th victory parade for their 5th NBA title will be tomorrow on the Riverwalk. Final 1-1. So the Russians tied it? Oh, okay, there's your final. Russia ties South Korea, 1-1, and that is now a final tally. Is that what FT stands for? Is that just full time? Final tally?
Full time.
That's what I thought it meant, was full time. It looked like final tally. So the 0-0 tie, 4 points. Spurs, we're back to them. That's tomorrow is the parade on the Riverwalk, and then to the Alamo Dome for the ceremony to honor the San Antonio Spurs. LeBron James will not be there, because that's not his team, so he will not be in the San Antonio victory parade. I have issues. Did you know that, John? Other baseball, American League, Angels in Cleveland, 1-1 in the fourth. Did you see the picture of LeBron? It was on Facebook. It was making the rounds on social media. He's like in a baby, with his head on a baby's body. And it's a picture of LeBron like crying. It looks like a face that would be crying. It's on a little baby's body, and he's on the toilet.
No, I didn't see that one. Dude.
Some people are really good with the Photoshop.
I did see the one with LeBron in a Los Angeles Kings jersey.
Los Angeles Kings?
Los Angeles Kings.
Am I playing hockey?
Playing hockey.
That's where he's going to opt out for a little hockey action? Well, they say Savannah, his wife, loves L.A. Speaking of L.A., the Angels and Cleveland are tied at 1 in the fourth. Toronto over the Yankees, 1-0 third. Same score, Boston over Minnesota at Fenway. Nothing doing yet in Tampa with the Orioles and the Rays. Interleague Series, Seattle beat San Diego earlier today 6-1. Jesus Montero with his first homer of the season. San Francisco and the White Sox just about to get started at U.S. Cellular. And the Nationals lead Houston 2-0 third. In the National League, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh 1-1 third. Philly leads Atlanta 2-0. Cubs over Miami 3-1. Junior Lake his 9th home run. Mets and St. Louis about to get going at the new Busch. Milwaukee-Arizona will start at 9:40. Colorado and the Dodgers 10:10. College World Series, Texas Tech has been eliminated in the double elimination. CWS, Ole Miss, Mississippi beats them 2-1, so Ole Miss will move on. And coming up, just starting right about now in Omaha, Nebraska, TCU, Texas Christian, and Virginia. That is your sports wrap presented to you by Sporty Cuts. We're enjoying Green Lantern Pizza from Green Lantern Pizzeria. You can check them online at Green Lantern Lounge, LOUNGE.com. It's that simple to be a part of Green Lantern Pizzeria out there in Clinton Township on 15 Mile. 248-848-1130. We're going to, I promise, Bernie Fratto's coming up at 8:30, but we're going to start talking a little bit about Brady Hoke and Rob's claim on Sunday on Sports Final Edition during the Clubhouse Confidential segment, which you see every Sunday night on Local 4, that Brady Hoke, yes, definitely, there is a very hot seat and maybe a short leash on Brady Hoke for the 2014 season. You don't fire coaches in college much during the year, especially around here. We don't do that often because they give more respect to those guys and fire them during the season. But it would not stun me if this were to be a first time, you know, for everything kind of deal, if something were to happen and really poorly in Ann Arbor. Greg, you're on Sports Night with Parker and Man. What's up, Greg?
What's up, Mark?
What do you got?
If you keep Infante, where was he going to play?
If you keep Infante, he could have played second base.
Okay, then what are you going to do with Kinsler then? You're not going to make the fielder trade then, right?
Stop. I'm not making the fielder trade now. Knowing what you know now, it's the greatest trade in the history of mankind. But you can't do that. Go back to March. I would never have made the deal. But I understood the deal because they want the money for the hockey rink.
Yeah. What else do you think the most important person that's there right now is Jim Leland? I mean, Leland is more missed now than ever because I really don't believe they'd be playing like this under an experienced manager. I just don't believe it. I really don't.
Well, there's a word, Greg. It's called imponderable. And we could be saying that. And I'm not disagreeing that that's not probably the case. But I don't know what to do with that information. I don't know if to tell you. You know, there's two. Hey, Greg.
All right if he retired on his, I don't really ever think he retired on his own. I don't believe it. I just don't.
I think he was forced out.
But Rob said, I think he was just, they just said, look, we want to give off a chance. But we're going to let you step down. We'll give you a little job up front. We'll give you a day. And don't worry about it.
All right. Well, Rob says he was forced. It was not a step-down situation.
I just don't think he was ready.
I think Leland was very agreeable. And I think he wanted to do what the organization wanted. So I don't think he wanted to ruffle any feathers.
He's been a tiger all his life.
Greg, he's going to be 70.
From day one?
He's going to be 70 years old. Wait, I mean, how long do you want to do 70?
Yeah, he's 70, but, you know, hey. I mean, he wasn't
senile. Greg, it's there. Dude, I understand that, but dude, I don't know about you. I had to drive to Saginaw the other day, and I'm not 70, and I had to make two stops. This guy's traveling half the year. It gets to you. I'm not saying that Rob's not right. There's probably somewhere in the middle between forcing him out and saying, I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, maybe he did have enough. You know, he might have just said, you know. And he was taking a lot of heat from the people, you know, whether he ever paid attention to that or not.
No, he didn't care about that. He didn't care at all about that.
He second guessed every night, you know. Why is he playing him? Why is he doing that? I even done it a few times.
I don't think he notices that stuff that much, Greg. I really don't. I don't think most of those guys do. Those guys do.
Buddies, I can always tell when the Tigers were going to win a series because he put in his, we've already won the series lineup. You know, Kelly and...
we've already won the series lineup.
Yeah. Kelly and Santiago and, you know, yeah, we won two out of three. So if we don't win this one, I'm not upset. You know, but...
Well, there's two factions of people. I wanted to tell you this. There's two factions of baseball fans who feel something about a manager. Here are the two. There's only two. Number one is the side that says managers don't do jack crap. Right? You've heard that. It doesn't matter who the manager is. And then the second faction is the people who think they do just a little bit more than jack crap.
Just a little bit.
You know what I mean? That there's just – I'm not kidding. Because nobody ever said, God, that – if it wasn't for La Russa, that team with all those home run hitters never would have won anything. I don't think you hear that much. Maybe with a guy like La Russa or even Sparky in 84, it's very few and far between when the manager gets that much credit. But you're right. When things go off the rails, woo, look out.
Well, you know, if he doesn't make a play, you know he's going to get ripped. And the organization is going to get ripped. Because they go, why would you turn over a division-winning team to a guy that never managed anyway?
Well, you know, it's funny, Greg, you say that because, you know, when Rob and I picked, and we got to come clean on this, I mean, I don't know if we have, when we picked the Tigers not to win the division and he went with Kansas City and went with Cleveland, we still picked them to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
We did pick them as a wild card. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's very possible they're not going to see nothing. And at that point, I would have to say, am I surprised that there's no playoffs? Because I really thought they would at least get it as the last seeded wild card team, whatever that means.
Well, I mean, wild cards, you got it now about 100. Getting like the NHL.
What's that?
Now, how many wild cards do you have now? Two, three?
Two.
two. That's getting like the NHL. Wild card soon everybody's in the
playoffs. Oh, wild card teams. Oh, I thought you said somebody was robbing jail.
No, wild card.
No, Rob's not in jail.
Rob Parker in jail. No, he's not in jail.
No, he's not in jail.
He's doing just fine, thanks.
He's probably killing in Michael Jordan's house.
Yes, he's hanging at Michael. No, he actually wants to buy the old house that's up for sale at Architecture Point outside Chicago for $19 million.
It's still for sale?
Yeah. Well, no, they got a buyer, John. Who's going to buy that thing, that monstrosity?
Roustakis is brutal down
there, that case. You know what they call him? Bootstockus.
Yeah, I'll
tell you. Not Bootstockus, it's Bootstockus. He boots everything.
He's only hitting 170-something, so, you know, you better start.
That was his nickname in the minors in the PCL, by the way. That bad
that's right,
because
you
league.
Saw him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I watched him down at, whatchamacallit?
One more thing before I got.
Albuquerque
like
years.
Nicky, the way he's swinging the bat. It seems like, I've never seen him swinging as many bad pitches that he swings at.
Who's that?
Nicky.
Dude, I can't be watching. Is he up right now? I can't do it.
No, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about lately.
I don't know about that. I think the two guys you really can't do much with are Miggy and V-Mart. I think we're good there. I think we're good.
I still think you need someone with a little bit more.
Thanks, Greg. See you later.
Pop. Thanks.
Well, I mean, you know what? It looked at the beginning of the year, you could rip on Miguel, you know, a little on Miggy. But right
now,
I'm
talking
we're
about V-Mart.
Even I was doing it. Oh, yeah, power's gone. Look out. You just paid this guy $30 million. Doesn't even kick in yet. Power's gone. He's gonna hit what if he hits two homers this year? What are you going to do then? Yeah, he showed that he still got it. You know, he's fine. Nothing to see here yet. Join us again in 15 when there might be something to see with Miguel Cabrera. Right now, all eyes are on Verlander because there is something wrong there, without a doubt. And I'm not so sure 37 ain't got a problem, too. You can throw him into the mix now, too. 248-848-1130. Here's the question before Bernie Fratto tonight. What does Michigan have to do, if you think about it right now, and I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up, not just because of Rob's thing on Sunday. What does Michigan have to do for Brady Hoke to feel comfy and cozy, not the other way around? What does he have to do? Because it's, you know what, you got to really want to get, I mean, Rich Rodriguez really wanted to get Ann Arbor to lose his job. He really, if you think about it, you go back to it, and he got better every year. That's how bad things started. But he really wanted to leave Ann Arbor. And they accommodated him so he could be at Arizona, and he just signed a new deal with the Wildcats for the next couple of years. What is Brady? Because Brady Hoke wants to be here. Brady Hoke's a Michigan guy. We all know it. You don't have to sell me anymore. I get it. What does he have to do to feel comfortable this year? Is there a limit? Hold on to the name material. Right. It's Sports Night with Parker the Man. Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Detroit's number one late, live, local sports show.
What's so good?
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
I'm just doing some housekeeping if you're on my shirt, if you're watching at ParkerTheMan.com. Why do you think I've been wearing more black shirts or dark colors? Because we're doing Juniza. I am such a slob, believe me. And the Green Lanterns, I mean, it's that gooey and cheesy and so good. And
it gets everywhere.
It's that time for On This Day in 1984, a look back at the 84 Tigers, brought to you by Comerica Bank. June 17th, 1984 was a Sunday, and the wrap-up to the series in Milwaukee, plus the 10-game road trip, 44,902 at County Stadium to witness Dave Rosma versus left-hander Bob McClure. Chet Lemon's double in the first scored Rusty Koontz. It was 1-0 Tigers off the bat. Brewers got it back, bottom of the second on a Bill Schroeder sack fly. It stayed 1-1 till the fifth when Detroit broke it open. On a Larry Herndon strikeout, Barbaro Garbe stole home. There's a way to score. Two batters later, Tommy Brookins tripled in Lemon. Howard Johnson singled home Brookie, and later Trammell singled in Hojo. 5 runs in the inning. Jack Lazorco replaced McClure, and it was 6-1 Tigers. Bottom of the sixth, Smoke Lopez in for Roseman. He allowed a Cecil Cooper double to score Robin Yount, and a wild pitch scored Cooper. Tigers got one back in the eighth off Tom Tellman. Lemon with a triple to score Lance Parrish. Lopez gave up a run in the ninth before getting Rick Manning to fly out to Herndon and seal the deal at 7-4. Roseman went to 3-0. Detroit finished up the trip with a big sweep of Milwaukee. The Tigers were coming home to face the Yankees, 47-16, 6 games up in the AL East. That was 30 years ago today on the road to the World Series, presented by the good people of Comerica Bank. A 23 on a trash talking Twitter Tuesday. Hashtag TTTT. You could do that anytime. And we'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour. Some trash and everybody will have something tonight. Bernie Fratto coming up in a few minutes. And how come no one ever mentioned the, why isn't the Croatian thing? You know, if Justin Verlander goes to the mall, it's a big deal. But if the Croats take a nude romp in the pool, which we didn't get to yesterday, and there's pictures all over the place, and they were having a good time. I will say that. They were having fun.
Or when the Croats get...
They were doing cannonballs, and that ain't easy when you're naked, you know. Better be really careful when you do a cannonball naked, because that water's can be tough on you. It'll be hard. You know, you've heard of hard water. We don't have that tonight, so that would have got... I didn't want that anyhow. I wasn't begging for it. But nothing about that. Croatia's guys jump into the pool, I mean, have a big pool party naked, and no one says boo.
I mean, you know, you got the Croats, you know, they want to get crunked and get, you know.
Come on, John, speak up. You're just afraid to talk about naked dudes from Croatia in the pool. Don't be afraid. Sense your sexuality in the 2014s.
I got nothing.
They got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing. Brady Hoke, I asked you the question. What do you think he has to do to, you know, everybody says, what does he have, what record or something like that? I don't care about the record so much as what does he have to do to make himself comfortable that he is here at Michigan for a while?
He has to at least get to a Big Ten championship.
At least?
At least. Which I don't think he'll get to.
Short of the Big Ten championship, he's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Is he gone? Look, Rich Rodriguez, in the same amount of time, had the same exact Big Ten record as what's his name does, as Mr. I'm not going to say Ohio State does.
But the difference was
Rich Rod did it
right, and Rich Rod never embraced the Michigan Ohio State rivalry.
I mean, every one of these coaches now has had their clunkers. You know, don't forget it was Appalachian State and Lloyd Carr. Everybody wants to blame that on Rich Rod. Rodriguez.
No, that was Lloyd.
Rich Rod lost to Toledo. Forget that.
Right. But you know how Michigan State couldn't, I mean, Michigan couldn't get to Columbus?
What was the question?
How Michigan could not get to Columbus?
How Michigan cannot get to Columbus? What does that mean?
They couldn't get past Toledo.
Oh, yeah, okay. You mean the joke part of it. But see, he can't make it funny because he can't run anything.
Oh.
Even if he wanted to. I know. It's the way it goes right now. Michigan and Michigan State both are on the quarterback list. If you know what that is, the NFL.com did a thing today where they posted the 10. I'll get to the Brady Hoke thing in a bit, but I did want to tangent off to that. They're the 10 schools that have produced the most quarterbacks in the National Football League. What is like? What schools are quarterback you? I'm going to have John see if he can pick. Well, here, I'll go backwards. Number 10 is NC State. Russell Wilson now part of that group.
Yeah.
So is Phillip Rivers. Michigan State's ninth. There's only two Big Ten schools in the top ten. Michigan State's ninth.
For quarterbacks.
For quarterbacks in the last 25 years to the National Football League. Tony Banks, Brian Hoyer, Drew Stanton, they all played. Well, you like it. Jeff Smoker. Kirk Cousins, obviously. Georgia's eight. They have a quarterback coach in Mark Richt. He's their head coach, and he played quarterback behind Jim Kelly at Miami.
Yep.
Florida, seven. California, the Golden Bears, six, with Aaron Rodgers leading the way. Five is LSU, even though they have Jamarcus Russell on their resume.
Ooh.
Four is Stanford, Andrew Luck leading the way there.
Yep.
Number three now is Florida State. Number two is Michigan. In the last 25 years, Michigan, number two. And who's number one?
Ooh, that's...
Silence.
That is...
The University of Southern California, USC.
USC?
Yep. JT, you're on Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Hi, JT.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Good. All right. Yeah, Michigan plays Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State on the road. I think Hope has to win two-thirds of those games.
Two of those three games, either the Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State, so two of those three that he has to, he can afford to lose one. What happens if he loses two or all three of them?
Well, if it's all three, I mean, the pressure would be on him so great. He's gone, I think. He, you know, it'll be a warmer seat if he only wins one. But, I mean, if he loses all three of those games, I don't see how he can survive.
JT, I'm totally with you. He loses all three of those games, done deal. Finished. Histo. Bye-bye. Gotta be. Can't do it again. Can't do it.
Right.
Singletary. Can't do it. JT, you're right on. Two of them, there's pressure to bear from the community, especially if one of those is Ohio State. If he can't beat Ohio State, I don't know, if you're watching, right, I'm kind of doing other things like biting my nail, trying to think, am I ready to come?
I think he could survive if he beats Ohio State in the last game at Ohio State.
If he had lost to Michigan State and Notre Dame, you're saying?
Right.
I think that.
I think Brandon would give him the benefit of the doubt if he wins that game. But if he loses all three, I mean, it's a wrap.
Okay, JT, I'm with you. Thanks, man. I'm kind of with him. I think that's pretty definitive.
So if he loses all three.
Done.
Now, the next question
hard to bring him back.
Who you replace him with?
I ain't there yet. It'll make my head burst if I start dealing with that.
I mean, because you look at this Michigan schedule. It's not the greatest schedule.
Okay, then why don't you trash it tonight when it's time for trash talking?
All right.
We got a sports rep coming up next. 248-848-1130. Bernie Fratto into Hizzy. Well, on the phone's Hizzy as well on Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
Hey, this is Joe Dumars, and you're listening to Detroit's Late Night Talk King. Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Robin Mark do it right.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Parker and the Man. On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
Great pizza tonight in the Hiz from the Green Lantern Pizzeria out in Clinton Township. Their number is 586-859-0500. You can check them at greenlanternlounge.com. And here's a little menu action. The pizza's down here. And I think John's going to have to rip me off another slice of that deep dish pepperoni style, if you know what I am. Fratto's coming up in a second, but it's time for a sports wrap. John just looking at me like, who the hell are you? What the hell happened? What's going on with you, man?
Where's my Mark Wilson?
He's like a nut job now. Not as I wasn't a nut job before. Sports Wrap brought to you by Sporty Cuts, right there on 7 and Outer Drive. For a great haircut, it's Sporty Cuts. Take your peeps, tell the family, tell Grandpa to put on pads. We're going to Sporty Cuts. There's a bullpen activity with two men on again for Kansas City. Nothing has changed. We're in the fifth inning. It's 7-2 Royals. Max Scherzer is still on the mound, but as I said, runners on second and third and nobody out in the second game of the four-game set. Alex Gordon and Mike Moustakas, Gords and Moose, with two-run homers each in a seven-run inning. Infante had a two-run single, so Omar got on the board again after four ribbies last night against Verlander. Oh, it's too much to mention. Escobar error scored V-Mart. That's how the Tigers got their first run. Austin Jackson with an RBI single for the second run. 7-2 right now. It stays this way, Kansas City will be in first place and have a 9-game winning streak heading to tomorrow's third game of the 4-game series. Local scores first, Sports Night with Parker Man, presented by Sporty Cuts. World Cup soccer in Brazil, USA off till Sunday. Russia played to a 1-1 tie, right? A 1-1 tie on the pitch against South Korea. Belgium beats Algeria 2-1, and Brazil and Mexico play to the 0-0 tie. So each now has 4 points in Group A. Other baseball, American League Angels over Cleveland in the fifth, 5-2. Mike Trout, his 15th ding. Yankees leading Toronto 2-1 in the fourth. 2-0 Boston at Fenway over Minnesota in the fifth. Chris Davis' 12th homer. Baltimore leads at Tampa 5-2 in the fourth. Interleague series this afternoon. Lloyd McClendon's Mariners defeated the Padres 6-1. San Francisco in the second leads at Chicago 1-0. Hunter Pence, his 10th homer. Washington leads Houston 4-1 in the fourth in the National League. Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, 3-2 in the fourth. Philly up 4-0 over Atlanta in the fifth. 3-3 Cubs in Miami fifth. No score Mets in St. Louis in the second. Two others start later. College World Series, Ole Miss defeated Texas Tech earlier in a loser's bracket game, 2-1. So the Red Raiders are now eliminated. And Virginia leads TCU. That's 1-0 now in the second. And don't forget tomorrow, if you're going, go early. Spurs victory parade. Starts on the Riverwalk around 7 Eastern, and it ends at the Alamo Dome, 10 o'clock, for the big rally, and no charge. So, John, if you're going, no charge. That's your sports wrap, presented by Sporty Cups. Let's bring in Bernie. Hey, Bernie, how you doing?
What's happening?
I'm going to play your open. You ready?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Hold on. Hang on. Let me
Wrong open.
Give me a sec. Okay, ready? Hit it. Go, Gary. Okay, here we go. This is Bernie Fratto, ladies and gentlemen. Bernie Fratto joining us right now. Bernie Fratto.
We are inside.
What's up, big pimpin'?
Take it to the house. We are inside the Fratto House with insider Bernie Fratto. The former pre- and post-game host of Detroit Lions football on the flagship. National sports contributor to the likes of JT the Brick and Sports X Radio.
Yeah. Who?
He hosts UNLV basketball's Rebel Extra on the ESPN affiliate in Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
He knows the lines. He knows the odds.
Winning.
From Vegas to Detroit, this is one fraternity you don't need to rush.
You know you make me wanna stop.
We're inside the Fratto House with Bernie Fratto.
And there he is. And Bernie, the Tigers have just given up another. Max Scherzer gives up 8 runs tonight. Phil Koch is running in. He's sprinting in from the bullpen. Scherzer's night is done after another fine 8-run performance. What say you, Bernie?
So let's see, 19 runs in the last 14 innings. What did they do, hire Gunther Cunningham as their defensive coordinator?
I think you're right. Oh, that's what Gunn's doing now. Exactly.
So, John, Mark, how are you guys doing on this 20th anniversary of the O.J. The Bronco chase, right?
And John
Bronco
Davis is in for Rob
right
tonight.
Now.
20 years.
Yeah, how you doing, John?
I'm good.
20 years right now. We talked about our experience earlier. What was your experience?
I was at the Tiger game that night. My buddy Sean Green just got called up to the big leagues, and he got a ticket. And
the Sean Green, by the way, the 49 home run in one season, Sean Green.
Yes. Yeah, he did that with the Dodgers in 2001, I think. And I went to the snack bar to get one of my favorite beverages. And remember, that was the year they installed TVs at the old Tiger Stadium adjacent to the snack bars. And you could watch the game. Only they didn't have the game on. They had this Bronco going 20 miles an hour on the freeway with about a million cop cars and so on. What is this? And, you know, we'd already know what was going on, but that was new. So, I mean, they literally changed all the teams in the game at the stadium to that. So that was my experience.
I want to see a car driving down the highway.
That's it.
We didn't know what was going to happen. The car could have careened off. It could have. That's why they stayed with it, because they did. Cause people said, why did?
You're darn right. We didn't know. You had probably the greatest running back of all time back there. He had a gun to his head. You know, it was goofy, man. We didn't know anything.
That's why they kept showing it.
Yep.
All that time. Hey, Bernie.
20 years ago today. Yeah.
We talked about this earlier, and I know you wanted to say something special about it. Vin Scully was very eloquent when he talked about the passing of Tony Gwynn yesterday, and I don't think people really realize how significant Tony Gwynn was and could have really been had he not spent his entire year playing in the southernmost portion of the western part of the United States he could possibly go to.
Well, look, there's a reason that Petco Park is the address of 19 Tony Gwynn Way. He is Mr. Padre. He was a legend, and I was fortunate enough to talk to him a couple of times. June 10th, 1981, an interesting day, Mark. Tony Gwynn drafted third round by the San Diego Padres on that same day, drafted 10th round by the San Diego Clippers. Fabulous point guard at San Diego State. Great first step. I even saw him play. He wasn't even going to play baseball at San Diego State, but thank God he did, because went on to become one of the most prolific hitters of all time. Mark, some of these numbers are incredible. He had a lifetime batting average of .444, bases loaded. He had a lifetime batting average of .302 with a two-strike count. He only struck out one time. Excuse me. He only struck out three times in a game. Once in his entire career, and ironically, it was against Bob Welch, who passed just a week before. Remember the trio of Greg Maddux, Tommy Glavine, John Smoltz?
I've heard of them, sure.
Gwynn had 323 at-bats against them in his career. You know how many times he struck out total? 323 at-bats? Three.
Three times against Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux combined.
In 323 at-bats. Never struck out more than 40 times his entire career that season. Only did that once. That was 1988. You know what? Tim Kirchner reported there have been guys in the big leagues that have struck out 40 times in a month. Gwynn never did it more than, you know, he never struck out more than 40 times in a season.
I've seen Mark Reynolds do that on a weekend.
I think I saw Rob Deere do that one game.
Right, right.
There you go.
Well, he really was obviously prolific, and it's almost too bad that people in the East Coast and the Midwest didn't get to see more of him in his natural habitat, meaning being out there in the community and the whole deal with the smile and everything else. Because, boy, when you spend your time on it, I mean, he was on the only two San Diego Padre teams that mattered, 84 and 98, and really insignificance by that franchise for the most part other than that. He was around some terrible pitching staffs, terrible pitching back then.
And unfortunately for him, in 84, they got to the World Series against one of the most prolific teams of the century, the 84 Tigers, and they do the same thing in 98. They weren't going to touch that Yankee team in 98. And, of course, in 94, a lot of folks feel he might have hit 400 that year at the strike. That's another 20-year anniversary coming up here in just a few weeks, August 11th, 1994. Gwynn was batting 394 at the time, and he said that if he'd only had four more hits at that point, he'd have been batting 400. You know, people think he might have hit 400 that year. He had 165 hits in 110 games. So, you know, that was another thing. I mean, after he got called up as a rookie in June of 82, batted 289 the rest of the way, he was only 22 years old, then proceeded to hit over 300 the next 19 years.
That's great stuff. Hey, Bernie, what is your thing when you look at Verlander? And I don't know how much more we can talk about this, almost ad nauseum now, but what his problems are or might be. When you see him, what now comes to mind about what should happen, considering that that contract that he signed doesn't even kick in until next year?
Well, you've got to write it out. I mean, I remember having this conversation about Verlander last year. Last year it had to do with velocity. It had to do with his mechanics. And he seemed to correct it and ended up having a decent year, not necessarily by Verlander standards, but certainly a pretty good year. And so I think the Tigers sort of have to ride this out and see what happens for the remainder of the year. But it's problematic because, Mark, I don't recall him ever getting hit this hard for this long. I think in the last 40 innings, teams are hitting over 300 against him. And he's given up, I think, over five runs and seven straight starts now. And I've heard theories that he's tipping pitches and his velocity's back, but when he's around the middle of the plate, he's just getting hit. So there's an issue somewhere. But I think they're committed to him. I don't think they have any choice. Last year he still had an ERA of 3.4, still logged 218 innings, and that's probably the larger issue. He's coming up on 2,000 innings, Mark, in his career. But there's a lot of miles on that arm.
Hey, Bernie, I'll tell you this. I said it today. What's kind of interesting is that Bronson Arroyo, for the first time in his career, for 15 years, went on the disabled list. At the time he went on, he had 349 straight starts, which was second to Mark Burley for the most starts without ever being on the DL. Well, now that Bronson Arroyo's on the DL, guess who's second to Mark Burley? It's Verlander. So now you're looking at a guy, only one guy in baseball has started more games without going on the disabled list. Active players, I'm talking about active, than Justin Verlander. In my opinion, they need to DL him. He needs to sit out, find out what's cooking, because this ain't flying right now, and there's no other solution except to keep pitching and have him get hammered.
There's no other solution. You got to march him out there, but there are a couple of other problematic metrics. If you look at Verlander's career, certainly since in the last 6 years, he's averaged a strikeout an inning or more. And in his big years, when he was 24-5 a couple years ago, 2009 he had a real good year. He's averaging more than a strikeout an inning, and this year he's nowhere near that. He's pitched 98 innings, he's only struck out 69 guys, and he's giving up more than a hit per inning. Those are problematic metrics because obviously he's not fooling guys. He's pitching to contact, and this isn't funny anymore. You're talking 7-8 starts now, but like you just said, you've got to ride it out. I still think he can correct it. Let's see what things look like in August and September. But, yeah, there's no other choice.
Let me just update this. Max's line is now, I believe, complete. Scherzer's out. Phil Koch is in. His line will be 4 innings tonight, 10 hits, 9 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, 2 homers. His ERA has gone up literally 3/4 of a point. 3.75 is how he'll get out of this night with his ERA. 9 earned runs. It's now a 9-2 lead for Kansas City.
And you know, you have this series. You don't even face James Shields. That's huge when you're losing last night Verlander, tonight Max.
Well, you're right. I mean, I don't think, and I think Bernie will agree, you can't really worry about who the other pitchers are anymore. You got to play this has fallen down the crapper so bad that you just got to go out there and do whatever you can, right?
I still want to see what everything looks like in September. I still feel the Tigers can win the division. They're going through a bad patch right now. By the way,
Scherzer's pitched very well this year. He's 8-2 going into tonight. He is striking out more than a guy in any.
Yeah, he just had that complete game shutout, the first complete game of his life. I mean, we all, hey, everybody's giving him a parade, and all of a sudden this bomb.
I got to tell you, though, Mark, there are other issues. We're burying the lead in the fact that this team offensively is nowhere near what it's been in the past. You're kidding yourself if you think after the four slot, after the four hole, there's not a huge drop-off. You know what? They were much more prolific offensively when they had Johnny Peralta and even Prince Fielder in the lineup. I like Kinsler. You're finding out Rajay Davis is not an everyday player. But Romine's an out. Avila's an out. You're giving up offense in too many positions. You're giving up offense in too many positions. And speaking of defense, it's been very suspect, Mark. They've extended innings, and they have not looked sharp. They've got to correct those two things. And this is going to be a sort of a pivotal 12 days because you have all divisional games. You had the White Sox, and now you got Kansas City, you got Cleveland, you had Minnesota. And I think after tonight, they'll be like 3-5 in the stretch if this holds. But you got to win in your division. And so at some point, they're going to have to correct this skid. When I was on the air with you a few weeks back, remember they were 27-12. Where are they since then?
It's bad since then.
Yeah.
About to get out of first place bad since then. Bases loaded now for the Royals against Phil Koch, and it's still a 9-2 lead. Bernie Fratto joining us from Las Vegas, as he does every so often on Sports Night with Parker the Man, Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan. You can watch us at parkerandtheman.com, premiersportstalknetwork.com. I noticed today that Johnny Manziel signed his official first deal as a quarterback in the National Football League with the Cleveland Browns. And I know you've been saying this to me. I'm just going to bust it out on you. You're pretty excited about actually coming up here and seeing him play at Ford Field in the first preseason game.
I absolutely am. I think there'll be a lot of buzz around that game. People want to see what this is going to look like. I believe he'll play a full quarter. And look, Cleveland is under completely new management with Mike Pettine on down. New ownership, new general manager. They blew the whole thing up. And if there was one franchise I thought that Johnny Manziel had a chance to have success, it was definitely with Cleveland under Kyle Shanahan's run zone scheme. It requires a mobile quarterback, a guy that can improvise somewhat, play action, keep his eyes downfield. I think Johnny Manziel has the gene. I think he's going to do okay. I just don't know for how long. I just can't see him having a long tenure in the NFL. He's going to get chased down by a few linebackers. But I think he's going to energize that city. I know they're very excited to have him. I think Brian Hoyer did a good job in a short sample last year, but they're out of their minds if they don't go with Manziel. I know they start at Pittsburgh week one. Look, you didn't draft him to have him, learn under Brian Hoyer for 2 years. Get him in there, baptism by fire. If you guys remember back in 2009, looked like Matt Stafford was going to sit behind Dante Culpepper week one, then with 4 days to go, they mysteriously said, well, we're going to start Stafford. I think that's what they're going to do in Cleveland with Manziel. But, yeah, Mark, I think it'll be a lot of fun that night, Saturday, August 9th at Ford Field.
And you talk about baptism by fire that first week against Pittsburgh, and you're in the same division with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. I mean, three strong defenses. It's going to be a tough road to hope for Mr. Johnny Football.
I don't know how strong Pittsburgh's defense is anymore. They're not even a playoff team. They got old overnight. I mean, they can still intimidate some people by reputation. But I think they're in the decline, as I think Baltimore is. Cincinnati's not. But, I think, look, at this point, you don't need to coddle Manziel. I think he'd be up for it. And I think that Cleveland will have some additional weapons they didn't have last year. And, it's a 6-1, half dozen the other. Do you shield him? Do you not start him on the road? Do that potentially create a problem? I don't think so. When he went into Alabama 1-2 years ago, that's really what put him on the map. And I think he would relish his challenge. Although, obviously, there would be easier assignments than having to go into Pittsburgh. I get that.
Phil Koch just walked in a run. It is now 10-2. Kansas City still batting in the fifth inning, and Jeff Jones is coming out to talk to Kochy. I've been asking everybody this, Bernie. I want your gut reaction to it. You ready?
Okay.
September 29th, if my calculations are correct, is the first day of training camp in the NBA. Where will Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James be that day?
From sources I hear, they'll all still be there. But I don't know. It all comes down to D. Wade and whether or not he wants to opt out. I don't see him doing it. They owe him $41.6 million over the next 2 years. And I just, he can't get that money anywhere else. And I think there'll be pressure on him to do that. There'll be pressure on all three of them to do that so they can clear cap space to bring in support. Because obviously there's going to be no more Ray Allen. I think he'll be gone. Shane Battier will retire. They're not going to re-sign Mario Chalmers. Rashad Lewis will be gone. So they're going to need a hell of a supporting cast. Now, the big three in San Antonio, they were willing to do that last year, and they ended up bringing Tiago Splitter, and he helped him a hell of a rim protector and an offensive safety valve, and he helped them a lot. I don't see Wade doing that. Part of the reason I don't see that is because today the Las Vegas odds came out, and the Heat are still 5-2 favorites to win it next year, and they can't do that unless all three are there. So I think they'll probably all still be there, but I will tell you it's basically a guess.
And what do you think about, now that you've seen the Van Gundy act a little bit, hiring Jeff Bauer as the GM and bringing in Brendan Malone and others for his staff? They haven't done anything yet. It'd be hard to evaluate. He hasn't done a thing with Greg Monroe yet, and he might. But what's your gut tell you about so far so good or so far so what with Van Gundy?
Well, I like Stan Van Gundy. He came through with a Thomas and Mack here for ULD games 2 or 3 times with NBC Sports. He was a color commentator the last couple of years. I was fortunate enough to have a couple of lengthy conversations with him. Incredibly underrated, as I think, as an X and O man. He's good with people. He's good with players. If he gets his players in there and they commit to his system, I think in 2 or 3 years the Pistons will be on the rise. I know he really impressed Tom Gore in the interview process. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I think he's a very good coach, and I think Detroit will warm up to him because he cares, and he's not he's the type of guy that checks his ego at the door. And he's the type of guy that I think will ingratiate himself into the city. So I give it a full thumbs up at this point.
What else you got? Anything else that you want to push? What you got going? What's cooking with you? You got so many jobs, I never can keep up anymore.
Well, I'm fortunate, to do what I love and be on the radio a lot. I'm on every Monday night, live from Las Vegas. I'm on the Yahoo Sports Network with Ken Thompson, live at the Palazzo Venetian. And, it won't be long. NFL will be around the corner. I'm head to Michigan to see you guys and, just enjoying our 102-degree wind chill factor today, Mark.
Hey, it's 91 today here, so you're only about 10 degrees difference, buddy.
Yeah, well, Michigan has nice summers. I take it a day at a time, dude. I get up every morning for my name's not in the obituary column. I have breakfast.
And what if it is, you don't?
Well, one day my name was in the obituary column, but I knew it wasn't me. It was the wrong address.
So you still had breakfast?
I did.
All right, Bernie, I'm going to play that. You ready for the open? We call it the open and the close since it acts as both. You ready?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it again. Here you go.
We are inside.
What's up, big pimpin'?
Take it to the house. We are inside the Fratto House with insider Bernie Fratto. The former pre- and post-game host of Detroit Lions football on the flagship. National sports contributor to the likes of JT the Brick and Sports X Radio.
Who?
He hosts UNLV basketball's Rebel Extra on the ESPN affiliate in Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas!
He knows the lines. He knows the odds.
Winning.
From Vegas to Detroit, this is one fraternity you don't need to rush.
You know you make me wanna stop.
We're inside the Fratto House with Bernie Fratto.
Bernie, thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
All right, see you later. There he is, Bernie Fratto, inside the Fratto House on Sports Night with Parker the Man. Coming up, we got a sports wrap. We'll get you caught up on the latest doings from Comerica, and we still got the bases packed for the Kansas City Royals. And here's what we're going to do tonight, John.
What's that?
The 9 o'clock hour. Come on.
Trash talking?
A little trash talking. I'll make
Twitter Tuesday.
Here. Hold on. Let me show you what it sounds like if I played it the proper way. This is what it sounds like, what's going to be happening in the 9 o'clock hour.
Take out the papers in the trash.
What is it, John?
It's a trash talking Twitter Tuesday.
If you want to trash whatever you got, whatever you want. You want to trash Croats nude in the pool? You trash Croats
nude in the pool.
When I did at Fox 2, we had the World Cup here in Detroit in the Silverdome, I did a thing with the Dancing Swedes. I don't know if you guys remember. Bernie does. In fact, I should have brought up the World Cup to him. The Dancing Swedes, and there was a famous bit that I had with the famous, but it was a well-known bit. I think that I could probably do a piece of the nude Croats
at the pool.
Dancing Swedes or nude Croats?
Give me what the give me the dancing Swedes.
What are you thinking? Gary? Nude, dancing, what do you like?
With ABBA in the background. With
ABBA? ABBA? You know, they're coming back. Don't kid yourself. They're going to make a 2015 comeback. You watch.
On tour.
Because she's ready to go. I shouldn't know this, but Agneta's ready to go. She's been the holdout. But that's for another day. Trash Talking's next. We got a sports wrap for you. It's the big 9 o'clock hour on Sports Night with Parker and Amanda. We're having some Green Lantern pizza from Green Lantern Pizzeria. It's Green Lantern Pizza. No, it's greenlanternlounge.com. That's how you can find them. They're voted best pizza. I tend to agree. greenlanternlounge.com. Sports Night with Parker and Amanda continues.
Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.